Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. They tried to put me away from this pulpit for 2 weeks, but I fought and I win and I'm back and I'm back to stay. I'm like bed bugs. When they come, they never leave, you know? Yes, I'm back. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. We're going to need to have a little bit of summary so we remember where we are at. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Before that, I have always told you that Colossians is like this illustration. It's like a good mama with a kid that is sick. So the doctor tells the kid, you need to take medicine, and the mama's going to give medicine. You need to give shot, you're going to give shot. It's tea, you're going to do tea. If the doctor says, jump 3 times and your son's going to be healed, the mama, what they're going to do? Going to jump 3 times, because they are desperate that the kid is healed. That's the heart of a mother, correct? It is. Colossians are good Christians. They love the Lord. Therefore, they're going to do everything to know the Lord. But then they become easy prey for false teaching. False teachers come and they accept it. False teachers speak and they follow it. And instead of looking like Christ, they look less like Christ. They are eager to learn, but then they are swallowing, buying all false teachings. What are the main false teachings? Mysticism, legalism, syncretism, and asceticism. Mysticism, it's when you go outside of the Bible and you want to hear things and you want to see things and you want to give mystical power to a drink or to food or to a place. Go to Jerusalem because Jerusalem is the place that God's going to speak to you. No, the place God's going to speak to you, it's in His Word and here, not in Jerusalem. Mysticism. Legalism, it's when we have that dichotomy, when we separate the world. In the church, holy, therefore I behave holy. At home, I behave whatever, not holy anymore. Saturday, it's holy, I behave holy. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, regular days, I do whatever I want. When we make that dichotomy, legalism came on, and that's also false teaching. Syncretism, it's when we mix the Bible with other religions, with other opinions, with philosophy, with sociology, and then the Bible loses its efficacy, okay? Because now we are accepting everything. When you accept everything, you lost everything. And lastly, asceticism. What is the problem of asceticism? They forget about the cross. They forget about grace. And they look to themselves. I do. I'm disciplined. I'm good. And now I'm blessed. And all your life hangs upon you. False teaching. We are back to Colossians chapter 3. Everybody's back now after 2 weeks off. Okay. So now I want to bring our first point. And we're going to read verse 12 and verse 14. First, I missed you. Christ is all in all. This is part two, because now it's good teaching. We spoke about bad teaching. Now we're going to talk about good teaching. Christ is all in all, part two. Part one, we focus on the mind. Remember, the glass of water can be either full or empty. Our minds must be in Christ. We see the world through the Bible. In everything we do, we want to obey God, we want to fear God, and we want to honor Him. It's the completely opposite of false teaching. Christ is all in all. He is our source, He is our means, He is our goal. Today in part two, the first thing I want to point out to you, it's Christ is our identity. Christ is our identity. Let us read verse 12 to verse 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let us quickly stop here. Christ is our identity. Christ is all in all. Paul is now giving sound and good teaching. How do I know that this, verse 12 to verse 14, is talking about identity? How do I know? Ask Gustavo, how do you know? Good. Because every time, not every time, but most of the time that the Bible talks about clothes, talks about identity. Okay? I'm in suit because I'm preaching. When I'm mowing the lawn at my work, I'm definitely not in a suit. Okay? So when the Bible talks about clothes, talks about identity. And the second reason why I know this text is talking about identity, it's the word chosen. Therefore, as God's chosen people. And remember, in Ephesians, we talked about this. When Paul uses the word chosen, he doesn't want us to fight with our brothers, Baptists, Pentecostals. He doesn't want that. Why does he mention the word chosen? Because he's talking about our identity, who we are, who is the church of Christ, who you are. Okay? Illustration so we understand this. A president of a big company in the U.S., I'm not sure if it's General Motors or Ford, he was holding a summit for the whole company. And he sent an email to his directors, his important people, the people who represent his company, and he said, you need to attend. Simply. One of his directors replied to him, I'm not going. I already have plans. I can't come. Guess what was the answer, the reply of the president? He just sent the same email back again. All the directors of my company going to be there. In other words, you need to understand if you are one of us or not. In other words, you need to understand if you are a director, if you're fit for that position or not. In other words, you need to understand if you can handle that and be part of us or not. That's identity. Same thing about work. Work who has good culture. Repeat with me, good culture. Good. Good culture. Whoever comes to a new work with a good culture, if they have a bad culture, they're going to leave the job. They cannot stay. When they start to do things messing up, doing things the way they're not supposed to do, being not ethical, being not profitable for the company, they leave. The boss get them away. Why? Because in this company, we have good culture. In this company, we have good mind. In this company, we own the jersey. We own the not we own the company. We own the vision. That's what Paul is talking about. Because listen, he's telling you this. Therefore, clothe yourself. Pay attention to this. You cannot fabricate the shirt. You cannot fabricate your identity. Legalism cannot do it for you. Syncretism cannot do it for you. What is Paul saying? The clothes, it's already ready. Now, therefore, clothe yourself with it as God's chosen people. And who is God's chosen people? They are compassion. They are dearly loved. They are holy to the Lord. They are kind. They are humble. They forgive. And they do all of this in love. That's what Paul is saying. This is who you are. This is what Christ has given you. That's who Christ is. Therefore, that's who he's making you. You are his people. Therefore, you're dearly loved, holy, so on and so forth. Does that make sense? And now he's going to add to it, do it all in love. Verse 14, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What is he saying? Remember, he's talking about love. He's talking about clothes. So let us use the suit as an example. This is the sleeve. This is the chest part. What is this? Yes, this is sewn to bind these two together. This is love. It binds all the virtues together. Practically speaking, what Paul is saying, we are humble. We are God's chosen people. We are holy to the Lord. We are God's chosen people. We are meek. We are kind. But we are not this only on a Sunday morning. We do things in love. Everywhere we go, we are humble, kind, compassionate, forgiven. Because that's who we are. We are not shallow. We are profound. We are deep. We are who we are because that's our identity. False teaching tells you to go do something to try to become humble, kind, loving. Good teaching teaches you that Christ is all in all. Therefore, shape your minds according to Christ and understand that your identity is in Christ. And now you know who you belong to. Now you know who lives in you. Now you know who his people is. And now you walk accordingly. Now you act accordingly. And what is the result of all of this? First of all, for yourself. The person who is loving, kind, generous, so on and so forth, is a happy person. Yes or yes? Second result, the community that that person is in, the family that person is in, the job that person is in, the Durham Christian home that person is in, the thrift shop that person is in, the Tim Hortons the person is in, becomes what? A better place. Because that person is in. So the community is blessed. And finally, as I just mentioned to you, what is the result of all of this? It is the opposite of false teaching. False teaching tries makes you believe that you can factor, that you can fabricate, that you can buy virtues. Good teaching teaches you that virtues is a gift, that it's already inside of you, that it was given to you by Christ. And because it was given to you, now you share it. Now you walk in it. Now you give it. First point, Christ is our identity. Last sermon, Christ changed our mind because Christ is all in all. This sermon, Christ starts changing our identity because Christ is all in all. Our second point, Christ is our master. Christ is our teacher. Let us read verse 15 to verse 16. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Second point, Christ is our master. There are two key words that I want you to pay attention here. Peace, repeat with me, peace, dwell. Okay, let us go for dwell first. All of us know that there are two ways we can understand dwell, dwelling. The first way we can understand dwell is hotel, Airbnb. You come on a Friday night, you pay for it, and you leave on a Sunday morning, paid for. From Friday night to Sunday morning, you dwell. You, quote, own the place. The owner cannot come in because you're there. That space belongs to you for Friday to Sunday. If somebody weird come in, you can say no thank you. If he comes in still, you call 911. Why? Because this place is mine from Friday to Sunday. However, you cannot make change. However, you cannot bring furnitures in. However, you cannot bring furnitures away. If you do that, they're going to call you a thief. Correct? You own the place, but you don't own the place. The other way we can understand dwelling is I own the place. Even when I'm not there, I still own the place. I can bring furnitures in. I can take furnitures out. I can change the room, I can paint, I can change the flooring, I can change everything because I dwell in the place. Now Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Which kind of dwelling you think he's talking about? The first or the second? The second. Christ can transform things. Christ has to transform things. This furniture here called Gustavo must leave this building. And the furniture called Christ must come in. There are so much of Gustavo that must leave this heart. And there are so much of Christ that needs to come into this heart. Christ needs to make a whole transformation in this house, in this temple, because he dwells in here. Does that make sense? That's what Paul is teaching us. And I have a good illustration for you. Look at that good-looking man. Look at the good-looking man there. Igor. No, don't look to me. I know. To that good-looking man, Igor. I live with Igor. We dwell together. Without noticing, He shapes me and I shape him. Sometimes we go to someone else's house or we see someone else's on their house and we're like, oh, they do things differently from us. The house, it's probably way more organized than ours because people do things differently from us. Maybe I should do this? No. Yeah. Good. Wait up. Yeah, you can mute me probably. I go like this. Everybody can hear me? Yes. Okay. No problem. So, we are shaped. And when we go to someone else's house, we're like, oh, people do things differently from us. Because guess what? I look at him, he look at me, and we learn from each other. The only way we should do things is the way I see him doing things, and he sees me doing things. And pay attention to this. I don't wake up and I say, I want to look like my brother. And he doesn't wake up and say, I want to look like Gustavo. Can you say amen to that? That would be very weird, right? Yes. So, how much more, Emmanuel, how much more would you think if the Word of God dwell in me and I want to look like Jesus, how much more He must shape me? Does that make sense? If Igor shapes me without me wanting to, how much more my Master Jesus Christ must shape me when I wake up every day and my desire is to look like Him? Therefore, we are very sketchy of Christians who claim to be Christians but doesn't look like Jesus. Why? Because we understand that if Christ dwells in you, you're going to start to look like Christ. You gotta be doing that. You gotta be on your way to that. To sound like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to think like Jesus, because He dwells in you. That's the word dwelling. And what must dwell in our heart, the Apostle Paul says? He says, the message of Christ, the word of Christ. In Ephesians, Paul focuses on the Holy Spirit. In Colossians, he focuses on the Word of God. What is he teaching us? The Word and the Spirit walk together. I always tell you this, especially from the teenagers. Gustavo, I have been so good, so well. I have attended church often. Praise God. I'm praying. Praise God. I'm listening to worship songs. Praise God. I stopped to listen to Drake. Very much praise God. Are you reading your Bible?
Nah.
Too hard. I don't understand. So I'm like, your spiritual life is not as good as you think it is. Because a Christian who is filled with the Spirit of the Lord is a Christian who is filled with the Word of the Lord. What transforms my life? The Word of Christ. How do I look like Christ? The Word of Christ. Being filled with the Word of Christ equals to being filled with the Spirit of Christ. Being filled with the Spirit of Christ equals being filled with the Word of Christ. Therefore, Paul says, Christ is our master. Let the word of the Lord dwell in you as it shapes and transforms your life. This is the first word. The second word we are seeing is peace. Let the peace of the Lord rule your heart. That's verse 15. What does it mean, the peace of Christ to rule your heart? Think about hockey. Think about the referee.
When he sees someone hooking the other guy on the skating, he puts that guy to sit on the bench for 2 minutes. When he sees the player who took the helmet off, who took the gloves off, and they're gonna love each other through punches, what does the referee do? Go sit for 5 minutes. Our context here is false teaching and good teaching, Paul is saying. What is he saying? You have peace in your heart. Peace from the Lord. When good teaching comes to you, green light. Listen. Take notes. Let it dwell in your heart. When false teaching comes, legalism, syncretism, asceticism comes, the pastor forget about the text, go talk about his dog, his vacation, his brother. Red flag, red light, stop. The peace goes out. Green light, peace is in. Peace starts going out, red light. That's what Paul is saying. Christ is our master because he dwells in our heart. Christ is our master because his peace gives green light or gives red light to everything we hear, to everything we connect around us. Because Christ is all in all. First point, Christ is our identity. Second point, Christ is our peace and master. But third point is, Christ shapes our deeds. And that's our last verse, verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. See? It's everything on a sequence. Your identity, he dwells in you and he teaches you. And what must happen? Actions. First he changes your mind. First he touches your identity. Now your actions change. Christ shapes our deeds. Pay attention to this very carefully. Legalism makes faith stuck into building, into things, into liturgy, into all of this. Syncretism makes faith obsolete. Everybody understand that word, or are you making up the word? Obsolete. You know? Yeah, good. So it's an English word. Makes faith obsolete because it takes away the truth of the Bible. Because you start mixing all the things to scriptures. And asceticism makes faith stuck in the self. We don't want our faith stuck. Amen? Because Christ is all in all. So what's Paul saying that good teaching does to us? He's saying this, the opposite. Whatever you do, wherever you go, no matter which day, no matter what, do it unto the Lord. Do it for his glory. Do it in the fear of the Lord. Do it in obedience to his word. That's what Paul is saying. Our faith is not stuck in the building. Our faith is not stuck in the self. Our faith, it's a living faith because the Spirit of the Lord dwells in us. Therefore, we have a living faith. And what is the result of all of that? First of all, it's the opposite of false teaching. Second of all, it is not a Sunday thing of faith. It is not a 1 hour of the day faith. It is a living faith. And thirdly, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Who can transform us 24/7? The Holy Spirit. Who can remind us that all we do, all we say, it's unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit. It's a living and powerful Christ is all in all kind of faith. That's what Paul is teaching us. And I want to conclude this sermon with the four main virtues I see in this text, which are love, peace, gratitude, and unity. Love, peace, gratitude, and unity. What is this? This is the result of Christ's righteousness. This is the result of the cross of Jesus Christ. This is the result of Jesus who gives you. Love, peace, gratitude, and union. And secondly, those things, those virtues, they are not only the results of what Christ can give you, only Him can give you, they are also the only thing that any false teaching can give you. It is a waste of time to try to fabricate love, peace, unity, gratitude out of Jesus Christ. Legalism, syncretism, sexism, mysticism, philosophy, ideology. Here we stand to look outside on the circumstances, on a new place, on a new job, on a new season, things that only Christ can give. Love, peace, thankfulness, and unity. This is the result of good teaching. Amen?
Amen. Amen.